Good afternoon, everybody. Happy New Year. And congratulations, Burton. I met you at one of our parties, and it was nice to meet you then. I look forward to working with you in a good way, as I think Margie and I had a good relationship. And thank you, Margie, too, for your great work. And thanks for the kale salad. I hope none of it's sticking in my teeth. I've already had two cups of it. As we enter 2013, we find ourselves at KPFA in calmer waters with change at the Pacifica National Office. Communications have definitely improved between us. I believe the Treasurer will provide a summary of current finances. During the changeover at the Pacifica National Office, our business office helped a lot to establish the new administration. Kudos to Maria Negrete. KPFA carried most of the initial costs, actually, some of it on my own credit card, now reimbursed, I might add, when the Pacifica debt card was found empty, so we did have a few problems over there. But that's how we've been rolling. And Maria Negrete deserves a lot of thanks for the extra work she did during that period. Things are much more stable now. Payroll issues are much reduced, and that comes as a great relief. And currently auditors are combing the books next door, and we look forward to their report to see where we really are. I believe our on-air sound recently and programming has shown some improvement. Upfront is now hitting its stride in the morning with very little resources, I might add. Working with KPFK Sonali Kolhakta, who's volunteering her services, and of course our news department, to produce the best hour of news in the Bay Area period, I would suggest. The growing morning drive audience carries over into the morning mix and climbs steeply into Democracy Now at 9 a.m. and up again for Letters and Politics. It's a good curve in radio. It's basically how radio should look, and it looks right at the moment. I believe we're building audience in the morning. You may have heard more in-station promotion recently on the air, forward promotions, more general promotional announcements too. We're making room for more self-promotion. We also plan to invigorate our silent pitch strategies by inserting more invitations for listeners to visit kpfa.org. When we did this in the last weeks of last year, encouraging listeners to take the tax advantage, we raised $50,000 in about 2 weeks. $16,000 in the last day online. The web is obviously increasingly important. The December fundraiser. We went into this year end-of-year fundraiser, which I might add is something relatively new at KPFA, but now seems to be part of roughly 80 or more days of fundraising per year, which we all know we're trying to reduce. We went into the December drive with a goal of $275,000. We managed to bring in almost $300,000 in our chalkboard total. That's the total of everything before we deduct any of our expenses. And we were able to finish the drive in 9 days, ending 2 days earlier than we thought. So that was good, and we stopped when we raised the money. And as we approached the end of the year, as I said, we did a soft pitch encouraging people to pledge online. And as I said, on that last day, we raised $16,000. Our next fund drive is in February, begins February the 12th, and will run through March the 1st. LSB elections. I want to publicly thank Aaron Morris, the KPFA election supervisor, who worked so hard to make the KPFA LSB elections, I would suggest, a success. I think maybe the board, without overstepping my boundaries, might like to acknowledge that with Aaron, if you agree. I want to congratulate the new members to the LSB. In my last report, I pointed out that roughly 10% of members actually vote in LSB elections. Well, that's true for most of the network. But in fact, some percentages are even less than this. But at KPFA, we had by far the best turnout. Roughly 17% of our membership turned out to vote. That was 3,257 listeners and 118 staff voted at KPFA. 17%. Yeah. That information came from Barbara. Thank you. The Goldbusters report, the famous Goldbusters. Well, here's the good news about Goldbusters. We had a phone call just yesterday with Goldbusters. We've developed a team at KPFA comprising our subscriptions director, Phil Osegeda, database manager, Chris Selleck, business manager, Maria Negrette, myself, working with the Goldbusters folks, Alice Ferris and James Anderson. They represent a number of television stations and radio stations in the southwest and over this country, up in Albany, New York. They are a reputable organisation. Goldbusters undertook a survey that some of you may have contributed to, and that survey suggested that there were some message points we could work with. One of them was the idea of, in quotations, freedom is a good message. And what they mean, freedom from pundit speak on KPFA, freedom from corporate support and its restrictions on KPFA, freedom from the mundane and the ordinary on KPFA. These are broad concepts to pitch around why people listen to and need the station. Major donors will be approached with these ideas in mind and asked to give in support of these overarching beliefs. Working with Goldbusters, we reviewed 2,000 of our top donors from our database, and with their help, isolated a list of 58 top prospects. We plan to set up appointments with 5 or 10 of these people, these top donors, for face-to-face meetings in February. They'll be approached in person by KPFA, somebody familiar with the donor, perhaps an LSB member, producer, friend of KPFA and Goldbusters personnel. Here's a sense of timelines and action plans discussed in regard to development. I'm going into this in detail because I know you're all very concerned about development, as I am too. There'll be a tax mailing at the end of January. That's being done. That's inviting people to share some of their refund with KPFA. That's already in train. There'll be pledge reminders going out for the December drive. They've just been sent. There'll be more sent in February. There'll be a mailer set in March to gather matching grants and buy back drive days for future fundraisers. When we do matches, we ask people if they would be prepared to contribute money to match, and this is a campaign, and then we can share that with our listeners when we go into fund drive. Here's possible events mainly targeted at major donors. They include, in spring, possibly in March, a working title, a policy and pint night. We find a local pub, we have a local expert meet and greet, a small party of invited potential donors. It's not a speech from a podium, it's more informal. This was suggested by Goldbusters. They've been quite successful at other stations. A second event could be in May, depending on what major donors want. After our consultation with them, meeting and discussing with major donors in February will help guide what that event could be. We also plan some kind of a thank you event towards the end of the year. Projects that might be funded. The apprenticeship program funding, we're currently writing a National Endowment for the Arts grant. That's in process. A masterclass series for apprentices, open to the public, paid admission. We plan to bring in leading Bay Area audio producers from Pixar, Skywater Ranch, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, former KPFA drama and literature icon Eric Bousfeld, Randy Toms, who wrote the seminal book on community radio production called Audiocraft and worked on the Star Wars movie, as Eric did, and other leading Bay Area sound artists to be documented, of course. Such a series should yield a positive publicity and deeper local outreach for KPFA, as well as recognising the value and importance and potential of our medium. Special programming needs will also be explored for development and outreach of existing programs at KPFA. In other words, we need to find some money for some of our programs to help develop them further. In February, Goldbusters will be visiting KPFA to meet with 5 or 10 major donors, as previously mentioned, to meet with staff, producers and the LSB, to observe our February fund drive and give feedback. So that's a brief report on Goldbusters. A lot happening. I can address some of the questions brought up by Roger at the end of this report. The Crafts Fair appears to be on track to return close to last year's profit, roughly $25,000. Final numbers are not in yet. The costs are still trickling in. But it was successful and does great credit to KPFA. I was there on both days. It was great the first time I had the pleasure. But there is talk about the venue being destroyed to erect high-rise housing, and we're not sure on the location for the Crafts Fair this year. this year. National Federation of Community Broadcasters, the NFCB, meets again in San Francisco this year in late May. The NFCB were here 2 years ago. Apparently they got a good deal on a hotel again. It's nice in the bay. They decided to come back. KPFA has been asked to be a host station this time with KALW and KQED. KPFA is organizing a four-hour event and presentation based on our masterclass idea to share some of the Bay Area's finest sound artists with community radio people who will be at this event. We have met with NFCB and they're very excited by this collaboration. KPFA will also host a reception to the NFCB at the station, and of course LSB folks will be invited. We heard about La Brava. We lost one of our own, Norma Marae La Brava. She was born in 1961. She survived by her son Gabriel. She was a long-time contributor to La Onda Bajita. On Friday nights, for well over a decade, La Brava could be heard, bringing poetry, voices of resistance. Her segments included across Indian lands and Tierra Alerta. La Brava worked in defense of Mother Earth, giving voice to indigenous communities around the world. She was a steadfast defender of sacred sites and nuclear abolition. There was a beautiful sundown ceremony held in her honor just yesterday, and it was great. Thank you, Frank, for mentioning that and the great work. Mitch Jezerich is in D.C. We're pleased to announce that Mitch Jezerich, Letters and Politics, is now heard on WPFW, our associate station in Washington, D.C. He's also on in Los Angeles at KPFK. Mitch needs producer help. We're working at finding a way to support this program more, and particularly now that it's heard in other markets, takes more work, and I expect to negotiate an arrangement in this regard with Pacifica, since other national stations are using this program. Inauguration and MLK Day, the presidential inauguration and MLK Day is the same day, Monday the 21st. KPFA will be running Democracy Now! For 4 hours on that day. They'll be doing special coverage from 6 till 10, followed by 2 hours of Pacifica special coverage with Davey D and Margaret Prescott from LA and Askia Mohammed from Washington, D.C. This will be followed by a five-hour Martin Luther King tribute program produced by the Pacifica Archives. That'll be on Monday, January the 21st. Sonali Kolhatkar and Uprising. You may know that today, this Saturday, the Uprising News Digest program was retired. Sonali will continue on up front. The Digest program was retired from Saturday mornings. We moved, therefore...
KPFA or both?
KPFA? Right across the network. She's not doing it any longer. She's pregnant. She's too much information, too much work.
Okay.
Not enough production help. But we may have other plans, which I hope to announce soon in that regard. We've moved the Gospel Experience with Emmett Power back to the original time, 6 through 9. This was made possible by the retirement of Uprising. Chris Welsh has moved to 9 through 11, and Father Figures has moved to 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. Outreach. I want to commend the outreach committee and people, personnel, for their great work, sometimes on very short notice. Their generosity of spirit and fierce loyalty to KPFA are an inspiration, and I expect that at some point there will be meetings between the outreach folks and Goldbusters to explore areas we may be able to better use these resources to increase membership. Special events. I want to also commend Bob Baldock. KPFA would be in deep doo-doo without his creativity. His fingertips on the pulse, his fingers on the pulse of the literary community and the progressive community do great credit to him and bring us some great speakers. We'll be doing something on Bradley Manning at the end of this month. Bob Baldock and Ken Preston bring us the best, and our audience appreciates it and pays for it, and without it, we'd be in big trouble. I would like to see this LSB consider some sort of tribute to Bob Baldock. We should be able to recognise and honour our own, and that's the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Briefly, first of all, Andrew, I'd like to thank you for an excellent report. It's no longer a surprise when you give us an excellent report. And for those who are new, I think one of the things that you may want to consider is, you know, Andrew came to us, in my opinion, in unfortunate circumstances in that he was imposed on us by the Pacifica executive director, and that obviously raised quite a few hackles and concern among some of us. But I have to say, at least speaking personally, but perhaps collectively, that Andrew's really grown on us. And we've come to appreciate him. And, you know, if I had my way, if we ever have a Pacifica executive director empowered to do such things, I would urge that the I be removed from the IGM title and that Andrew become our general manager, as long as he's willing to do that. That's my opinion. I want to ask a question about the fundraising. And that is this. One of the issues that's come up from time to time is the role of the LSB in fundraising. And in my view, the role is incredibly insufficient. I mean, many of us are part of other nonprofit boards, and every board I've been on except this one makes strong demands on its members for fundraising. And I think it would be great if we were to adopt a principle of a quota for each board member. I think when you go out to major donors and you say, well, each of our board members either gives or raises $2,500 a year as part of that board member's commitment, I think that would be important and something we could all do, whether it's making contributions ourselves or going to our friends and neighbors and associates and assigning them up. And I think that would be both materially important and would make our role as board members more significant. Last thing I want to say is this, and Andrew's comments about Bob Balduck remind me of yet another misguided effort by the PNB, which is currently considering imposing on each of the stations a very detailed set of reporting requirements and approvals for all events that raise money. You know, this was motivated by a negative experience at KPFK where there was money invested in a project and it turned out poorly, and so there was money wasted. But rather than address that on a case-by-case basis as a personnel matter or something, the PNB is threatening to adopt a policy which Bob has said will make his job a hell of a lot more cumbersome and difficult if he has to do all this paperwork every time he brings an author or other speaker to an event to raise money. And hopefully those of us who represent KPFA on the PNB will agree unanimously to oppose that policy and make sure it's not passed.
I saw the following people asking for Jordan, Frank, right. David, Janet, Andrea, and Mal.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Sharon and Sarah.
Carol.
And Carol, sorry. Okay, we'll go in that order.
And did you get Lewis?
Did I miss somebody?
Lewis.
Okay. My apologies. By the way, I know I've been reminded that...
Hold the mic closer.
I'm reminded that when I was trained that I was told that that's the proper way to have respect for the mic, and I'll try to remember that, Janet. I'm going to screw up this gentleman's name, but a new board member... A board member has joined us. Ramses Teon Nichols is with us and welcome, sir. Okay. Jor, you're on.
Oh, first of all, I want to thank Andrew once again, and I want to remind this board that I've come to several meetings for the last year and supported this man. I think Dan is absolutely right. Whenever we can get the Pacifica on board to get their manager, we should push to get Andrew selected as the permanent general manager. Having said that, now I want to break you down now. I want to ask some questions. First of all, can you tell us again the preempted hours on the 21st? I didn't get it. You said it so fast. I wanted to make sure everybody understands. What were the hours?
Democracy Now! Will be on from 6 in the morning till 10.
Hold the mic up.
Democracy Now! Will be on from 6 in the morning till 10 a.m., 4 hours of inauguration coverage. Pacifica National coverage comprising Margaret Prescott, Davey D, and Askia Muhammad will be on from 10 until noon. And there'll be a Martin Luther King special from noon until 5. The program is produced by the Pacifica National Archives.
And I want to thank you for that. Then I had a question of the bus Gold Busters. What you're telling us is that we hired them, is that true, in October? September?
I think it was, yeah.
So for 6 months, what we've gotten from them are some ideas on major donors and a monkey survey. Is that right?
No, we've got more than that.
More than ideas and monkey survey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because I wasn't here. I was on an LSB when we made the decision to go to Gold Busters. But I'd like to ask you if we are putting resources towards an interim consultant group that really has no counterpart in our organization because we don't have development. So what I'm asking is this a misuse of the few dollars we have for development in coming up with a short-term solution to give us ideas for who is going to implement? Because this is what I'm saying. You come up with, you know, we should do the donors, we should have these events, blah, blah, blah. But specifically, Andrew, you're being asked to be manager and fund developer. And I think this is too much for one person. And I think it's an unwise use of whatever resources we have. Not to say that Gold Busters isn't great and they might come up with some great ideas. But again, unless we have an entity within the organization to carry out those ideas, then I think we're throwing bad money after bad. That's one. And then I want to see what you think about that. And then the other thing is, when you do the fund drive, you have help, a personnel person who helps you. Is that true? The fund drive itself, the premiums and getting all that together, you're not doing that alone. No. So that's another resource that I think that should be considered part of development. And if we put, I want to just get your idea of this, if we put together that help that you have, your time that's being used, the $35,000 that we have set aside that Gold Busters is going to use now, may constitute a bigger source or resource for us to use for development. And I want us to think long term and not just short, and I want to see what you think about that.
You know, when I came to Pacifica, to KPFA, there was no development. It hadn't been for many years. There was talk about getting a development director. And that would have cost in excess probably more than my salary to get a decent one, six figures. We thought about this and we attended the NFCB. Chris Salek did, actually. He attended because I asked him to attend. I thought that it would be valuable. He met Gold Busters, came back, reported in, said, why don't we speak to these people? We did, and now we've commissioned them at a cost of less than half of what we'd be paying for development director, and I believe we are getting results. We've done a survey of 2,000 names, as I said. Next month we'll be going to some of these people, major donors, and I don't know how much money we'll get. I don't know if we'll get any money, but I expect we will get some, and we may get bequests, and we'll get other ideas and about how we can go about raising money. We've just started our relationship with them. This organisation, they came up, they attended the Amy Goodman event. They've been fastidious. They're on the mark. I think it's way too early to judge their performance. I think they should be given at least a year, as any development director would be. It's said that it takes 18 months to 2 to 3 years before one can expect development results. I predict we'll have development results in a positive sense within 12 months from Gold Busters. I didn't quite understand the nature of your second question. I agree that you know, premiums and one thing, that's part of development, but we already do that, and I think we do it relatively successfully. I don't know how we would do it any differently for now, but I don't know how that would impact Goldbusters.
And maybe I wasn't clear on that second part, but basically what I'm trying to ask you, if you think it would be more advantageous for us to use Ghostbusters to help us to develop a development department versus getting them to develop for us.
Well, I think this is the spinning of the wheels I hear a lot in our organization. Look, here's the half, you know, I want to say this, the glass is half full for some of us. It's half full for me. I think we're on the right track. As I said, there hasn't been any development at KPFA for years.
Okay.
Now we're doing it. How about saying that's good? How about saying let's see what the results are? As I said, give it a chance. Give them the chance. They'll be here next month, and if you want to speak to them personally, you absolutely will be offered that opportunity. Absolutely.
Right.
They are our we do have development. It's not like we do have development. They are our development, and as I said, we have a committee of people working with them. It's not just me. We're working in a delegated fashion. Chris Salek's in there, Phil's in there, Maria's in there, I'm in there. And there will be other people invited to join that group as we meet them in February. The LSB will be invited in. They'll be talking to staff people. There'll be staff people invited to go to make some of these asks, people who are known on the air, to encourage people to give us some money. I think we need to give Goldbusters a bit more opportunity to prove themselves.
All right, thank you for that. And there's one more and then I'll let it go. You mentioned the special events and said that it saved us, but do we ever get reports on how much is spent on special events and how much we actually recoup from it?
It's in our financials.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, there are now 9 people on the list, and
Mike, use your mic.
Thank you. 9 people on the list, but I want to thank you. I picked up from Andrew's report that he asked us to consider take Aaron Morris's work and Bob Baldock's work, and I will be asking the board about that when we finish your comments. I just wanted to bring that up for you. The next person is Frank. Thank you.
How you doing, Andrew? Thank you again. I just had a couple of side questions you didn't even talk about. I heard that the streaming, KPFA live stream channel, has that been disabled, the live video stream channel? Because as a producer who I did produce a video broadcast with the Iraq Veterans Against the War, and I have plans on doing another video streaming broadcast, and then someone told me that the live video stream channel has been removed. So is that true?
Not true, no.
All right, so the KPFA stream channel is there. All right, thank you. And then I never heard you address Roger's concerns about the emails, so maybe before you end you could do that.
Well, I'd be happy to. That gets to the glass half full, the glass half empty perspective. You know what? Go around this country, see how many radio stations are doing what we did, and you'll find many of them, including Pacifica. I think, frankly, we need to explore much more closely our whole information technology situation at KPFA. I've been here 2 years. I'm not a tech man. I need help. Let me repeat that. I need help to get our website up to scratch. I need help to get servers streaming more programs to our listeners. I need help with this. I can't do it alone. I've asked, and it's all very well to say what we can't do. I want to know what we can do, not what we can't do. All right? I don't think I agree with a lot of what Roger said on face value. I'd like to see facts and figures, but more importantly, what we can do to make this more secure, if indeed that is a problem. And I'll repeat again, I think you'll find many other radio stations use organizations like Constant Contact that we were using to do a e-newsletter to our audience, roughly 5,000 people. But I was told, you can't do that because that's insecure. So now we can't speak to our audience. So I said, what can we do? I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
I was wondering about the accounting or tracking system for unpaid staff that we asked you about a couple of months ago. We had a really, really productive and pleasant UPSO meeting the other night, and I think we're on track to get a lot of good things done, but one of the things we need to do is solidify our definitions of membership and all that stuff, so I'm wondering how that project's going.
Well,
I'm sorry, and before you do that, I want to say I agree with Dan. I think you're doing a great job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. We have a database that's been designed. It just hasn't been implemented. Let me say this. You know, some people just don't even like to put their names into a database, so that's a whole other question. But a database has been designed. We need to implement it. It was finished earlier this year, maybe very late last year, by Otis McClay, who does technical work for Pacifica. But we haven't acted on it. I'd be pleased to talk to the UPSO folks about it and see how we can get that implemented.
Right. About that thing about people don't want to be in databases, how do you feel about that? It seems like if you want to have access to the station, you have a door code and things like that, it seems only fair that there be some accountability for who has access and that some, I mean, isn't it sort of even like a liability thing that we need to know who's got access to the station? Shouldn't that sort of be a requirement of participation at KPFA that you'd be willing to be identified?
Yeah, I think we recognize, however, that we are somewhat of a peculiar culture at Pacifica.
True, yeah.
You know, we just are. I mean, it's been, I mean, part of the anarchy of the organization is its attraction to many producers, actually. But I agree. Yes, there should be accountability. There's a new handbook being looked at. The last time a handbook was done was 1996. My understanding is we're in the Pacifica National was revising that handbook, and that would include some of those rights and responsibilities of producer issues.
We're also working on that. We're going to be rewriting the bylaws of the UPSO, so we may be able to clarify and simplify things on that side of things as well. Now, with regard to the accounting software, everybody who uses the Copyright Confessor is not a fan of Otis McClay's work. So I don't know what to say about that, except that if he writes another software product that's as difficult to use as the Copyright Confessor, it may not be a success.
Well, I guess that's yet to be determined. But, yes, again, that's one of those areas that management needs help on, and those technical areas, David.
Okay. Margie has asked for the floor, and she's been added to the list, but not yet. The next person is Janet.
Hi, Andrew. So two things. One, I've been working very closely with an Egyptian revolutionary. That's what he calls himself. And he's in the Bay Area, and he has a very different perspective on the Egyptian, what's going on in Egypt, that I haven't been hearing on the news or other programs. And he's available to be interviewed or whatever. So, Brian, maybe, you know, I can connect him up to you too, or yeah. And but I would encourage more of coverage from on the ground people, not only journalists, but one other thing related to that, I've noticed that many news reporters are using the word mercy, or they're describing the president of Egypt as Mercy, President Mercy, rather than Morsi. So I don't know why that's the case. So there have been some other times when names have not been pronounced correctly, so maybe people could look them up or ask around or learn more how to pronounce different names. The other thing has to do with major donors, and I have concerns about strings and people who donate money getting special, you know, if they have favorite ideas or things that they want on KPFA, that they're buying their way, their ideas. And I don't want to see that. I think everybody else here probably doesn't want to see that either. So I'm wondering whether there are any assurances that you can give us that that won't happen, that we won't end up with our own 1%. Even though, you know, I mean, major donors are important, but that separation?
Well, you know, I think it's common throughout fundraising for nonprofit organizations to seek out larger amounts from those who can afford it. There's nothing unusual about that. To my knowledge, that has absolutely no impact on programming. You're absolutely right, and it should not. But it's just a matter of life. Some people have more, some people don't have as much, and we try to get money from those that have it. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good strategy, but I take your point in consideration.
Let me go through the list one more time. Andrea, Mal, Shahan, Carol, Luis, and Margie. In the interest of time, I've added Donald. And in the interest of time, I suggest that we cut off the speakers with that grouping. And if other people want to have some information, they speak to Andrew directly so that we can move on. If you're comfortable with that suggestion, that's the way I'll proceed. And Andrea, you're next on the list. Please get the mic and use it.
Thank you. Andrew, thank you for your report, and I've also enjoyed speaking with you about development stuff. And I'd like to share with the board a little bit of the thinking that's happened. My thinking, his thinking. I feel like we have a lot of possible labor sitting here in the room, unused. And I don't think it's because we don't want to. I think it's because we don't know how to plug into what's going on. And so I want to really encourage, when you're describing this high-dollar donor ask, I'm having this deja vu of having sat in a quote-unquote development meeting and having identified that we should go ahead and identify our high-dollar donors and go ahead and meet with them. And our efforts got flummoxed because they weren't in sync with what was happening within the administrative realm. Likewise, we have people at the ready who want to promote a campaign, a visibility campaign in Santa Cruz, our political and cultural sister city. And I think those are high priorities, but I feel like it's not a small thing that we're not being given guidance about how to plug into or to support those efforts. And so I really want to put on the agenda for next month that we suspend the rules and have a roll-up-your-sleeves conversation about development and how we're going to make best use of the talents and experience of these board members to do that. Because I don't want to come to these meetings and be, you know, like, what the hell are you guys doing? And it's like, I feel like my hands are tied. I feel like I don't know what to do, and we need to kind of harmonize some of that. I also feel like when I look at the technology situation, I have heard your frustration, I'm frustration, and there's a bottleneck here. There's a giant bottleneck. And I don't want to get into a personnel review. I don't need to do all that. I want us to put together a plan and find the consultants who can do it. Period. You know, when I look on the smartphone and I see, you know, if I compare KQED's iPhone presence to KPFA's, it's laughable. Or you could weep, whatever your preference. And it's just wrong. But underlying all of that, you know, we have this kind of triage mentality, which I fear is creating the other KPFA. There's one KPFA of high dollar donors. There's one KPFA of folks who, what can I say, are, we can replicate disparity. We can replicate two different KPFAs. If we dedicate all of our development efforts to looking at those high-dollar donors, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that there's going to be a lot of white people in there, and I'm going to guess that they're going to have a lot of kind of class and cultural commonalities. And, Andrew, I'm going to beg to differ. I think there is a way that high-dollar donors get heard. And I think that their preference is like any other institution. If they're the ones who are given the money, there's going to be a bias in their direction. And so I want to see us also create a development plan which focuses on, instead of recycling those same little listeners and trying to get more of their dollars and empowering them even further within the culture and community of KPFA, I want to see us do a broad development strategy which says, yeah, let's get 10,000 new listeners who pay $50 a year. Let's go for the middle class, the working class, poor folks. You know, how do we do that? And let them feel like a part. Let them feel like, yeah, you're part of the community and your preferences matter too. You know, I feel like, you know, the difference between the UPSO and the paid staff, you know, that there's some voices that are empowered and some that are less empowered. And when I look at the diversity issues and I feel like it's really possible that there are two KPFAs. And I'd like there to be one community, and I'd like our development strategy to reflect that we're going to try to be one community. I feel like, yeah, well, I love and respect Bob Baldock's work. I appreciate that he does that, but it sort of is the same thing. Like, it feels like it's a lot of white male speakers and events that are centering around, you know, it's not exclusive and it's not 100%, but we're calling forth a type of event and a type of community, and I don't feel like we're really reflecting the diversity of folks who actually are in our community or listening or could listen. And so I would really love it if we could diversify the development committee and to have it reflect more than just station insiders. More, I think the reason why we have this whole community LSB is because we have the potential to reach out and touch and involve and actively engage broader communities. So I'd like to see a written out development plan, and I'd like us all to figure out how we can support it.
Thank you. Mal, you're next.
Sorry about that. This discussion is ranging a little bit far and wide, and it's gotten a little bit off the point of the report, it seems to me, although questions are sort of relevant to the station. With respect to Roger's comments earlier, it seems to me that it's not a question of fault on anybody's part, but it is a, as far as I can see, it's a lack of sufficient direction from the foundation as to the method that we use to share lists. The non-disclosure agreement should be part of all of those contracts, and it seems to me it's a fairly standard issue, and I would hope that, Andrew, you can speak to whoever is involved in foundation-wide policy to develop a boilerplate clause that we are sure is inserted in these contracts. It shouldn't be a partisan issue of any kind. With respect to development, I agree with Dan that we ought to see that the board becomes more involved in the fundraising. That was one of the reasons I got on the board, but in the last 2 years there have been so many internecine conflicts that it's been hard to raise money for the station, frankly. I agree that we ought not to rely on high donor listeners. Yes, we should tap them, absolutely, But I agree with Janet that we shouldn't become a station that's only relying on such donors. The way to do that, of course, is to make what's on the air more attractive to people who aren't now subscribers. It's not a question of a development committee. This radio station, like a magazine, sells its content. If the content isn't interesting or inspiring, people will not buy the magazine, or they won't listen to the radio station. So I think as long as we're talking about development plans, et cetera, we ought not to lose sight on the fact that we have a product. And if that product improves, then we can find ways to sell it to a public. And thank you, Andrew.
Many thanks, Andrew, for your report. I appreciate it. I sort of mentioned this to you during the break that, and I think Andrea here talked about it in a little more elaborate way. There's certain inertia within our engineering technology group. I think it's not as open to new ideas. And I can tell you, even during an unpaid staff organization meeting, there was an issue about using the Skype, for instance. The staff could use the ability to use Skype for the interviews, and it could potentially save the station some money in terms of long-distance phone calls. But it was on, and then it was off, decision made by the engineering department for what they cited, and I'm paraphrasing as some sort of security issues with the firewalls. So, I mean, these are the kind of things I think we should be looking at. Everybody else is using them. You look at, Democracy Now! Is using it, Al Jazeera, BBC, all these other, major commercial, corporate media are using it. So I don't understand why we can't. So if you need something in writing from the unpaid staff organization, we'll be happy to do it. But this is, I'm making it clear that this is a request by it's an overwhelming request by most of our staff members. I mean, the people who attended the meeting, at least. The other point I wanted to ask you was the rationale behind covering this inauguration, presidential inauguration. I, for one, cannot see the significance of the event. I mean, I could understand it 4 years ago, but there was this sort of probably unwarranted euphoria over President Obama's election. But, I mean, given 4 years of history has gone by, I mean, I wonder what we are trying to gain out of this sort of a extended broadcast of inauguration. I mean, I have my own take on these live broadcasts, and I have made it clear on other occasions, but I think I would like to know what the reason, who made the decision, and so forth and so on. And then one request. you mentioned how we can cross-promote and make forward announcement of the other programs. I'm yet to see, I don't know how many years I have to wait at the station to see these professionals at the news department. I'm talking about the regular weekday anchors. They don't show the courtesy of announcing the 7 o'clock shows. I mean, what does it take? I mean, I don't know what it takes. Maybe you should put it. Well, yeah, but then. Yes, exactly. But this was even before it was broadcast in LA. So this goes way beyond that. I remember we even talked about it when there was a program council. So, I mean, I think this should be, there needs to be at the minimum courtesy shown to the our colleagues. That's what I'm asking you. Thanks.
You're talking about 7 p.m.
Yes, Carol, you're next.
I'm mainly going to pass because the remarks that Mal made are pretty much the remarks that I would have made, both on the issue of the boilerplate for non-disclosure, and also that I think growth comes from good programming. But just one quick thing on the non-disclosure stuff, and I don't know Roger Marquis or you, hi. But if he's correct that they've already received a non-disclosure agreement and said they are going to sign it, just following up on that would be terrific. And thank you.
Luis is next on the list.
Jose
Luis.
No.
Sorry.
I passed.
Okay. Martin?
Okay. So I have 3 points, two of which were taken care of by others, so I won't mention them, the non-disclosure act and the reporting, the status of the reporting system for unpaid staff. Other people talked about that. I listened to the public portion of the PMB show, whenever that was, a couple of nights ago. And in her report, Summer Reese said that, talked about I'm on the audit committee, so I was very interested in this because I was very deeply involved in the process of selecting this year's auditors, and I care a lot about audits and think they're terribly important. Anyway, so she was talking about the audit report, and she named three stations as having failed to provide, I'm not sure who, the national office or the auditors, with material documents that were required for the audit, and one of those stations was KPFA. And I subsequently had a conversation with Maria, who told me that she's been very busy, but that she knows that this is important and required, and that she is going to have the materials to the national office the early part of this coming week. And so my question is, I guess, you know, what discussions have you had with Summer about this? And because it seemed to me, and perhaps I'm overly defensive, it seemed to me rather an unnecessarily critical set of remarks that she made about KPFA and its relationship to the audit. And so my interest is in knowing what discussions you and she have had about the audit. I wish you wouldn't talk when other people are talking. I'm sorry.
Donald, we need the mic back.
Oh.
Thank you. I second that last remark, Marty. What I'm hearing here is, on the one hand, Andrew is saying we are moving forward, the glass is half full, there are positive efforts, and on the other hand, to my left, my ultra left, I guess, I hear whining and complaining, and that, oh my God, we're not doing anything, and same old, same old. So I want to lay down a challenge to my brothers and sisters here to the left. Andre, you spoke very passionately about development. So who here is willing to comprise the development committee of the local station board to begin to do serious work in advance of the next local station board meeting and not look just to our interim general manager for all the solutions? Because we do serve as, in lieu of other nonprofit organizations, the very entity that is looked to raise money, in addition to whatever the station itself can do. And I think what Dan said much earlier goes. I think every member of this local station board must commit to raising money. And if we're not willing to do that, then it's a lot of talk. And excuse me, I got better things to do.
Thank you. That ends the discussion period. Yes. Pardon? I had indicated to the board that I was going to cut it. I would recommend that we accommodate the request for one more speaker. Is that agreeable to the board? Okay, please go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, so one question for Andrew, which is factual, and the rest are comments. So the question is, have you set the goal yet for the February fund drive? And if so, what is it? So that should be an easy question. It's worth saying on Goalbusters that it's not a contract that was signed with National. None of the other stations went ahead with any sort of Goalbusters, nor is there any relationship between Goalbusters and Pacifica. This is a specific KPFA effort. So any problems regarding the relationship between Goalbusters and KPFA, while the National office can certainly referee if there are problems, it's not essentially a National office function or their responsibility. I'm concerned to hear about the issues with the use of Skype. Seems to me when you're dealing with international interviews that using long-distance telephone service is prohibitively expensive and a really dopey waste of resources. So my hope would be that Skype or a similar program would be usable without any kind of fuss. I mean, it's a simple, easy way to save money. We know we're short of money. We're fundraising so our workers have computers that won't crash. And under the circumstances, you know, that's an easy kind of thing to fix. So if there is some sort of systemic problem with the use of Skype, I hope that the IGM or a similar program, there are other programs besides Skype, there are some open source ones as well. But I would suggest that the IGM sort of pay some attention to making sure that we can use free online telephone services rather than running up huge international long-distance bills for no reason. What else? Two other quick points. The first is there was a little bit of talk about content being inspiring and challenging, and I think it's always worthwhile to sort of note that different people appreciate different kinds of content, and different kinds of content is inspiring and challenging for different kinds of audiences. We're not all the same. And when we use those kinds of adjectives, what we're basically doing is substituting meaningful evaluative criteria and meaningful programming philosophies for lame adjectives that people don't necessarily agree on. And it's not a substitute. What we need to do is look at programs sort of program by program in terms of the mission of that program and how well it fulfills the mission of that program and how well it serves the audience that it's trying to serve, which are different for each programs, and how the targeted audience for a particular program reacts to that show, and not sort of drop our own opinions about what's inspiring and challenging and entertaining sort of onto a pile. So I really, really can't emphasize enough how much we need a programming philosophy and a set of criteria and a meaningful evaluation of what we're choosing to broadcast. So we know why, we know what's working and how it's working, and we are, in a thoughtful and conscious way, know what each program is trying to achieve, how it's trying to achieve it, and how it's doing. I have never in... I guess we're getting on 14 years of involvement with KPFA, seen that done. And it, you know, it needs to be there. The last thing is about development. I'm just going to endorse what Andrea said. There are a lot of creative development options that we're not fully taking advantage of. My hope is that Goalbusters will identify some of them, and I think that they might. I mean, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that contract's going to go. As you know, Andrew, we went through this on the Finance Committee. There is a mixture of cynicism and some hope, but I don't think that we know yet, and we'll just have to see. That said, there is absolutely nothing stopping this board from throwing four fundraising events this year. I mean, all that's stopping us is that we're not doing it. And that's, you know, that essentially is what the issue is. It seems to be that we're more interested in throwing challenges at each other than actually doing something. So my suggestion would be that somebody set up a date and somebody set up a venue, and that would probably make a little bit more sense than saying, you don't want to raise money. No, you don't want to raise money. It's your fault. No, it's your fault, which is pretty much all that we do. And the last thing that I would say is, yeah, we're going to need some internal development capacity eventually. Consultants are great, but consultants are generally, unless you get a really, really good one, not a substitute for internal capacity. So we've done this before, but when we take a gander at next year's budget, I think we really have to seriously look at internal development capacity and what we have to do to make the funds available for that. And it may mean taking funds out of somewhere else. Sometimes those are the kinds of hard choices that you have to make, but you make that kind of choice so later on you have more funds to work with in toto. And I really hope we'll be serious about that this time and not sort of non-serious about it. So that's it. Thanks.
Andrew? Let me try to be really brief. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. Andrea, we do have a written development plan. You said, where's our plan? I think we do have a written development plan. And I believe I passed it around last month, and I'd be happy to forward it to you. Well, I did pass. I mean,
I think you had a copy that went around.
I do. I know I had a copy, and I haven't passed it around.
I might get a digital copy.
Well, look, okay. You know, we have a development plan, and as I said, in February, you'll be very welcome. The development folks want to meet with the LSB, and you can go to the horse's mouth. Don't have to ask me, ask them. And we do have a plan. And I just outlined part of the plan during most of the course. I don't know if you heard that, but that was what most of my report was about. Santa Cruz has a population of 60,000 people. San Jose has a population of 1 million. Where would you be spending your development money? Okay, so we haven't thought about that. There are a lot of places that need more help than Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz has a minor problem. We've had a problem because we can't get our translator, an engineer, to sign off on the translator down there. So people still hear our broadcast in Santa Cruz, but there's a shadow in the university area that is problematic. But frankly, I do not see that as a big problem. It's a minor problem. There are way bigger problems than that and more important markets to be dealing with. San Jose would be one. Excuse me?
Is there a plan around San Jose?
No, there is not. But there could be. And it should be. Mel, the non-disclosure agreement. Look, I'm a bit fuzzy on this. I believe it's been signed. There are a few clauses that we did not agree with or that Goldbusters did not agree with. I'll be happy to also pass that around to the board if they want to peruse it. But the whole issue of so-called security, I think, needs to be looked at, and I agree it would be great to have an IT consultant come in and examine what we could do better and what we're doing well and what we could do better at KPFA. Absolutely agree. Fantastic idea. Let's do it. Secondly, I absolutely think we should be using Skype. I have absolutely no problem with that. I don't understand why we're not doing it. I'll get behind it. But again, that might be something that an IT person could really explain to us in language we could understand. Or inauguration programming, well, I don't really have an answer for that, only that Democracy Now, people expect to hear Democracy Now. People are going to expect to hear KPFA covering the inauguration. I think we should cover it. People around the world will be concerned about it. There'll be coverage. There'll be alternative coverage, which will include Davey D's coverage and Margaret's coverage. So that's why we're covering it, because I think people want to hear it. Now, as a matter of fact, it's not that much extra coverage. Democracy Now! Is already on twice in the morning, so that's 2 hours, so there'll be an additional 2 hours of Democracy Now! On that day, actually. Carol asked about the non-disclosure agreement. Yes, we'll follow up on that. I believe, as I said, it has actually been signed, but what does it actually say? That's the important thing. Margie, auditing and Summer, I've heard nothing from Summer. Look, I will say this. Maria was really called in to do a tremendous amount of work to help set up the national office. I think Barbara will vouch for that. We spent a lot of time helping that national office get set up. We spent a lot of our own money. Frankly, she needs help at our radio station. We're a big station. We have nearly 50 paid people at KPFA, which is more than double any of the other stations. I think Los Angeles has half that. That's because a lot of our people get half-paid positions, whereas the other stations are full-paid positions. But it takes more management. And Maria acts as our HR person. She helps me as an assistant manager sometimes, plus she's doing the business office work. So, yeah, she gets behind sometimes. But she is a valuable part of our team. She needs help. and we need money to get that help. We do not have a program director. I need help. I'm doing both jobs. We don't have a development director. I'm doing a bit of that too. I mean, I'm running as fast as I can. And I have help from Phil Osegeda, does a terrific job, very knowledgeable, institutional history. Chris Selleck, great job. Really, these people do a very... We get way more than our money's worth from these people at KPFA. No doubt about that. But we're understaffed. But I have heard nothing from Summer about that audit situation. Tracy, I believe our goal is $735,000, but we weren't firm on it. We're still dealing with it for the February drive. The Skype issue again, I think that answers most of the questions. If it doesn't, I'll be happy to speak to people outside the meeting.
Thanks. Thank you all very much. I'm going to see where we are with your agreement under new business. Hear me out.
Okay.
See where we are when we get to new business to raise the issue of the suggestions of action with regard to Aaron Morris and Bob Baldack.